With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Dan Zangrilli, here until 10 o'clock on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio 1020 KDKA. Congratulations to our 2020 high school seniors. We want to salute you and to pay tribute to the high school class of 20. Well, what we're doing is we're creating a virtual album of high school seniors from around the area. You can submit your senior selfie online. You could view the album, kdkaradio.com/seniors. Our salute to high school seniors brought to you by the Pittsburgh Institute of Aeronautics and Always Best Pet Care, along with St. Vincent de Paul, Omega Federal Credit Union, Armstrong Comfort Solutions, JP Roofing, and Carlo University. George Floyd is dead at 46 years old because a cop, with him handcuffed on his stomach, threw a knee down on his neck for nearly 10 minutes. He told him he couldn't breathe. 3 other colleagues watched. People filmed. Floyd is dead. This is a new depth, folks, and here to talk about it, and what I want to talk about essentially is how we change this, how we move forward, what are solutions, rather than rail on how this needs to stop. But I want to figure out how to stop this. Ideas, suggestions, solutions, real change. And I'm happy to be joined on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline by Andy Harvey. He's a law enforcement expert. He is the author of Excellence in Policing, Simple Ways to Exceed Citizen Expectations and Every Police Citizen Encounter. Andy, welcome to KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So this is probably a tough day for you. Being involved in law enforcement, I know a lot of my law enforcement friends. I've had folks, and I'm going to leave them nameless here because they went off on Facebook, and they just absolutely, from a law enforcement perspective, they are outraged because the one percenters here, what they do is they make a bad name for law enforcement officials, and it makes their jobs all the tougher because of this one bad apple. But one bad apple seemingly creeps up year after year, month after month, Andy, and we have to acknowledge a problem, right? There is an issue here. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, and outrage would be a proper description for how most of us feel, even in the law enforcement world. We are outraged. And I'll tell you, we have worked so hard, and we continue to work in every single police department. I can tell you, going and talking to police chiefs all around the country, we work tirelessly to build confidence and build trust and make sure that people know that we are part of them and all those things that we're trying to do, and we do it every single day and day out. And when something like this happens, then it sets us back a little bit, so it affects everyone.
So I guess the question is, because I've largely challenged my callers here tonight, is to bring solutions, not just get into this paint by numbers, talk radio, social media, posting, vicious cycle where we just run in place and we wash, we rinse, we repeat. Incident happens, we rail, this needs to stop, but not enough how to stop this. So I've been charging and challenging my callers for solutions. So I'll ask of you the same thing. How do we move on and how do we prevent? What is a solution, Andy?
Right. Yeah. So that's the million-dollar question. But I'll tell you, here's where I think we are at, and here's what I'm seeing. And you mentioned it by your friends in law enforcement. I think for the first time, really, I've seen more, and I'm encouraged by this, is more law enforcement leaders and those in positions of authority speaking out against and condemning these actions. I think that's one. And I know it's just talk, but I think that's a great first step. And really, we've been doing it, but this time I've just noticed a lot more of that because we are frustrated as well. We don't like that. As a matter of fact, we hate that. That's not who we are. It's not who we want to be. But I think a good step is having law enforcement step out and say, enough is enough. We're not going to tolerate that as well. And we haven't historically. We've been hesitant to do that because we have to stay neutral, and everybody understands that. However, there are times where we need to speak up, and this is one of those times. And then we need to act. I think we need to continue doing what we're doing and being on message and doing exactly what we've been doing and focusing on every single citizen encounter and those things that we're doing. We have to keep that up. And it's a fight. It's not going to be easy, but nobody really has the answer. But I think we keep doing what we're doing, but we speak out, and then we act. When it's something like that, we condemn it, and we get better, and we move forward.
Andy Harvey is a law enforcement expert. He's the author of Excellence in Policing, Some Simple Ways to Exceed Citizen Expectations in Every Police-Citizen Encounter. A caller charged me, and he said that before we can move on and figure out solutions for the future, we have to understand the past and understand how we got here. It's probably speculative on your part, Andy, to go inside the officer's mind here in Minneapolis. I really don't want to give him a name, but why do you think this happened? Why do you think these issues have happened in the past with police officers being overtly aggressive to primarily African-American men? What's the why behind this?
You know, it's really hard, right? And we try to do, we do everything we can to try to hire the right people with the right mindset and heart. But, you know, we don't know at the end of the day, and we don't know what's in somebody's heart. And I'm not judging but what's in this officer's heart because I don't know him. All we know and what is what we see. And that was horrifying itself. But I think in policing, I know this. We have to acknowledge the hurts of the African-American community. We have to acknowledge that first and not pretend because we weren't there that it didn't exist and that it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on today. This is history. This is years and years and years in the making. And we have to acknowledge that and understand that there is some hurt. It comes out as anger. That's how we see it. We see it now in New York and Minneapolis and L.A. Look what's going on over there with the protests. And it's anger. I'm not saying it's right. But beneath that, there's a hurt. So we have to acknowledge that. And here's the hard part for us, Dan, also, is that the police historically have been caught in the middle of somebody else's war. And I call it war because they named it war. They named it the war on drugs and the war on crime. And now it's, you can call it the war on whatever, right, immigration and other things. And here we are in the middle. And we're like, listen, that's not who we are, that we want to – police are not for that, you know, and so there's a conflict there, but we're caught in the middle, and we're the bad guys, and sometimes rightfully so, but I'll tell you, it's a hard thing for us because we are the face of other people's plans, right, and it's not fair most of the time, but we're going to do what we're supposed to do, and we're going to get the blunt of it.
Andy, if you were emperor of the world, right, if you had your way to enact anything that you could in a police precinct or a squad, what would you do? What would be your first order of business to try to get on the other side of this that may not be occurring in precincts all around the country?
You know, again, I really, really believe this, Dan, is that we have to focus on every, and I write about this, and the only reason I bring, because I really, really believe in this, officers have to focus on every single encounter. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we policing? Are we still policing in a way that's adding value to community? In other words, are we making decisions out in the field that are not just in the police best interest, but also in the interest of community? In other words, if we take action, we have to ask ourselves, is this going to add value to community, or are we just taking action because, for lack of a better word, I'm bored, right? And most of the times we do. What we do adds value. But there are times when we do things that are that directly conflict with what who we are and who we're trying to be as one, right? One community. And I think we continue with that mindset that we have to add value. And if you're making a decision that's not doing that, then that's not going to be the right decision. And we have to understand, you know, what the how people perceive us. And so there's a lot of things that I think we need to continue, and we're doing a pretty good job of it, but we're not there yet. But I think we continue on that with that message.
Andy Harvey is my guest, a command-level law enforcement officer, over 21 years of experience, author of Excellence in Policing here on KDKA Radio. What do you make of three other officers standing around, or a partner just sort of being idle here as something as what we witnessed goes on here, Andy? What is the psychology, if you will, behind that?
Well, so culturally speaking in policing, it's a hard thing. Now, I'm not making excuses because they were wrong. They should have acted now. But let me just provide some perspective for you. We're talking, not, from what I understand, the officer that was on Mr. Floyd, I think he's a 19-year officer, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong.
He's a veteran. He's a veteran teammate, if you will.
For sure, veteran. Yep. Okay, and we, mm-hmm. you know, those they hold some water. Okay, when it yep. comes to the internal, influences of.
You don't want to show them up, right?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I'm not saying it's right, but that's part of it. So we have a 2-year officer there standing next to him, probably knows and looks over like, and you can see he was like, I'm not sure. So does he want to intervene? What's going to happen? He should have, but did he have the courage to do it? And here's the question I have, and no one's been able to answer this, and I don't know if anybody knows or if they put this out. Was there a supervisor on the scene? Because I'll tell you, Dan, studies have shown when there is a supervisor on the scene, these kinds of things decrease. The opportunities for things like this to happen decrease immensely. So was there one on scene, and should there have been one? And I say absolutely yes. So I think that's a question we need answered, and I think we need to make sure that supervisors are doing their job and being out and knowing what their people are doing, what their officers are doing.
Andy Harvey, law enforcement expert, the author of Excellence in Policing. A couple of more moments here with Andy, who's been a terrific guest so far, trying to make sense of the George Floyd murder. I guess we can go ahead and I'll call that the alleged murder, I suppose. So do we need overarching, sweeping change in policing where you almost have, I guess, a manual or a guideline or a blanket policy here for training for these officers? Or is that overreaching too much and is a one-size-fits-all type of thing, whether that's at a federal level or whether that is at a state level? Is that a solution, or are we just putting a further hindrance on law enforcement officials?
That's a great question, great point. I do believe that we focus a lot on our hard skills, meaning target shooting, practicing for shooting, driving, and those hard skills and making sure that we're safe, okay? That's very, very important to us. But I do think there needs to be more training on soft skills, communication, how to interact with citizens and those things that are important, how to speak and all those things that are really, really important, de-escalation. And we're doing a lot of that already. We really are. But I think we can do more, and I think we need to do more. And then we need to understand that here's another thing, and I want to make sure, Dan, this is a hard gig. And there's nothing easy about going out and dealing with other human beings. And it's a hard, and I'm not, this is certainly not excuse for anything, for any bad behavior. I just want to provide that perspective. It's a tough gig dealing with people. I mean, dealing with people is not a perfect science. And so we have to understand, we have to use our mind. We have to use our brain to really, really solve problems in a way, again, right? And I hate to harp on this. Well, I don't hate to harp on this. It's true. We need to have the mindset of, are we adding value to community? And that's, for me, soft skills is where it's at. Continue our hard skills training, but we need more and more de-escalation and more of those soft skills that I think will keep everyone safer.
Andy Harvey with us, our guest on KDKA Radio. Final thing for you here. If a law enforcement officer is listening to this program right now, your book, Excellence in Policing, or maybe an administrator or a political figure, if they pick up your book and they read it, what are they going to learn? I guess, what is the big takeaway that you hope that they will walk away with as you've written this book? Its purpose is to largely reach those people and to do what?
Well, I'll tell you what the gist of the book is, and the meat of it is this. Here's what I found, is that people are more concerned or more interested in how they're treated and how officers arrived to the outcome more than the outcome itself. And that's a very powerful thing when we understand that. And so when we have a better understanding of that human dynamic that happens in every police citizen encounter, then we can manage those a lot better. Now, you know, it's a hard thing, but I think we can do a heck of a lot better job. And when we do that, we're all safer for it. So I think when we treat people with dignity, fairness, and respect, everyone's better for it. And that's really the meat of the book.
Excellence in Policing, Simple Way to Exceed Citizen Expectation in Every Police Citizen Encounter. The author, a man who has 21 years in law enforcement experience at the command level, Andy Harvey, our expert guest on KDKA Radio. Andy, you were absolutely tremendous. I hope I never have to call you again, and I hope we never speak again. And I mean that with as much respect in my heart as possible.
I appreciate that, Dan, but we need this dialogue and continue this dialogue. If we don't do it, we're going to miss out on the message. And so I appreciate it. Anything I can do for you guys, let me know.
Yeah, on that front, I'll actually call you right back, because you were absolutely tremendous. That's Andy Harvey. Great stuff here on KDKA Radio.